It's always like that.
Honourable member, or is it a practice that we introduce ourselves every time we need it. We think we know all of you, and we think you know all of us. Is that an honorable matter?
Yeah.
I don't mind if this is my birthday.
You want to
come?
Yeah. I've already spoken about the quarter. And I think in the presentation you also inform us the work of FED. How does it help you? How is it giving you the skills? By when will it be going out and will you be ready to take up after that? We also want you to report on the issue of the vacancy rate. You've not been having a CEO for Johnny Dale. I hope we'll be getting one, but we haven't had one for a long time. And also that in the vacancy rate. And then the issue of hedging for the overseas thing. And the department gave the SAT upfront at the first quarter the amount to do that. But I'll hand over to you to give us the report. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable committee members. First up, I must apologize for our chairperson, Dr. Tanya Abrams. Hope we'll adequately represent her. My name is Terry Galafeng, I remind again, I'm deputy chairperson for health and tourism. I also have to apologize for self-representing Tanya Abrams. I also have to apologize for our acting CEO, and I'll give an update later on the full-time CEO. The acting CEO, Sandy Zalini, who is traveling from South Tourism Business Overseas. Chapter the committee, we've had excellent first quarter. It's been a very good quarter for tourism. The number of trips have increased from 10 million in quarter one 2016 compared to 6.8 same quarter 2015. So it's been an excellent recovery, if you will, from last year. Foreign tourist arrival efforts compared to last year, growing 18.7% to 2.7 million compared to 2.3 million trips taken in Q1 2015. We see some of the main drivers of increase our foreign volumes for visitors who are visiting for business and for other purposes such as medical, religious, and many other various purposes. Domestic tourism in this quarter have accounted for 7.3 million of the total number of trips, an increase of 60% or 59.9% compared to 4.6% million trips taken in Q1 2015. We can see that the real reason for the increase was really the shift in the Easter holiday, as well as the favorite trips taken with the purpose of visiting family and friends. There were more public holidays in Q1 2016 versus 2015, which therefore has affected the travel patterns between the quarters, as domestic travel tend to travel during the long weekend, public holiday, and school holidays, and that's it. Last quarter to the quarter of 60%. Visa processing capacity continued to plague some of our source markets, in particular India and Russia. The lag also in the implementation of the visa requirements, or as some people say, the lack of understanding of the visa requirements and the Ministerial Committee's recommendation to amend unabridged but specific requirements has been implemented effectively or as anticipated. And as a result, has affected some of our key markets, such as the US and Canada. We are familiar with the economies of Brazil, Russia, and Turkey, and what's been happening in those markets, and those have had a serious impact on our business as well. Travel alerts from the USA and from the UK around concerns for terrorism could have had an impact.
Excuse me. Can you have the presentation there, Tito?
No, we're going to have the presentation, so I'm just going through some highlights,
yeah.
And then we're going to go through the report.
Yeah, so we can follow there also. Thank you.
Thank you. I was just going through some of the highlights, and then I will have a more formal report on Q1. So just giving you really some of the broad highlights of that. I did not put them up there. We looked at my comments up there. But that's what I'll do is I'll immediately just highlight two or three points, and so we can get on with a more presentation of Q1. We said kind of a Lukhotla and a Lukhotla, but leading into the Lukhotla, we've been working on reviewing the tourism growth strategy, and we've in the process of finalizing our enhanced strategy for growth 2017 to 2021. And one of the highlights of this has really been to consolidate our strategic focus going forward and anchor it all around the 5-in-1, 5 million, 5 million tourists in 5 years. That's how we anchor the project going to the future. And we're in the process of finalizing that to impact our 2017 to 2021 our work. We'll also give a bit of an update on Indala as we go through. I think as you remember from the last time we spoke about getting a strategic partner for Indala, we've gone through the process, we've issued a tender, we've gotten the responses, and we are not, and we've concluded that we are not going to take on board a strategic partner because we've not made commercial sense for SAT, as well as marketing sense for SAT, as it will cost us more money to bring a partner on and compared to doing it on our own. I also want to just give you a final comment on the chief executive appointment. As you know, we've been with our CEO since last year, November, I think, since last year, November. Happy to report that we have shortlisted CEO. We have recommended one. It has gone, we've received concurrence from the ministry, and it has now gone to cabinet as a process. So we would have loved to have had it happen now, but of course, as you know, honorables, we just come out of period of elections, so there was no time to get that through to cabinet. But I'm happy to report that we have brought finality to that, and I'm hoping that cabinet will endorse our recommendation. Without further ado, I'd like to head over to our Chief Marketing Officer, Maggie Whitehouse, who will go through the Q1 report in detail. And of course, we've got everybody around here from finance to tourism grading to convention, and they can make any further input later or any details if anybody wants any clarification. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. It is truly a delight to be here at the start of Tourism Month. With everyone looking bright and vibrant, including our Chair, not just Mr. Boss. So, it was lovely mention, and what was great watching Morning Live this morning is there's continued mention about Tourism Month and a reinforcement again of Tourism Month, which is great to know that there's message coming out there. So it really is a delight for us all to be here. I'm here to bring you to the Q1 results. And from my idea, I will take you through the financial part of that. And thereafter, the full representative team is here to discuss any questions and any issues that you have. Just to make a few notes around some of the Chair's opening comments. We know that there is a lag in the statistical data that we have, and this is a continuous issue that we know plagues the committee. At this stage, Statistics South Africa is the official authority of all stats, and until such time we have those stats released to us, we cannot report on the international rivals particularly. The domestic survey we do, so that we can certainly know, but the international statistical rivals come from statistics and that lag exists and continues to plague us all. We have a working committee that comprises of the department, ourselves and stats survey, who are looking continuously at how to overcome these timing issues. And we will continue to feedback from the portfolio committee the request that these findings can be aligned. On the issue of STB, just to make it absolutely clear, STB is our agency. There will always be an agency in any marketing organization that delivers the work. They do not own the strategy, they do not own the work. They are continuously working in a number of different areas across all our business units. So they are, the onus rests on us for South African Tourism to deliver the strategy and to deliver the work. SEB are merely a delivery arm, just as we will have delivery arm of any kind of exhibition that we put together, so, you know, peer groups delivering in Java, whatever those sorts of issues are. The issue, any questions that we have addressed in terms of timing or lag of campaign, lives squarely with South African Tourism and the agency. So just to clarify, because it goes through. and around the issue of hedging and how we semi-hedge through the upfront payments internationally. Tom will address in his presentation around the financials. Then we turn to the presentation. We first looked at the long-term performance forecast in quarter one. Now we see the tourism trips up considerably. Main reason being the movement of Easter. The Easter moved into the quarter one period and therefore didn't compare. We're having issues around it, but we keep going, so we can keep trying. So the 7 points we did show the 69 comparison, and that's mainly because of the movement of Easter into the quarter period. Foreign tourism arrivals, 18.7% up into 2015. We do know that the second quarter continues to show this extraordinary growth. Domestic spend at 8.8 billion, again, reflected entirely against the timing of long weekends and Easter. Foreign direct spend up 38% based on the increase in arrivals. Length of stay at 3.69 domestically is down, where length of stay internationally at 10 nights is up, but this is mainly attributed to additional 2 nights coming from non-markets, not air markets, if you look at the index, and that is garbage. Bed nights at 26 million in domestically and 26.2 million internationally. Geographic spread, as we all know, that geographic spread is one of our key deliverables, is looking a lot better in at least 15% of our arrivals internationally towards the water. Again, the key issue here becomes an issue around VFR, visiting friends and relatives. So visiting friends and relatives is always quite a debate because we say what does that do and what impact does it have on tourism. So South African tourism, one of our key focus areas this year and going forward, is how we can move VFR, visiting friends and relatives, into the fear of holiday trips. If this is the fear of, regardless of where these people choose to stay and where we choose to stay at VFR, how we can encourage these travellers to do leisure activities, to visit a museum, to visit a heritage site, and we're working with a very exciting collaboration with the South Taxi Foundation, who run 30,000 taxis across the entire country, to promote within these environments during the peak VFR periods and other periods as well, encourage these travellers to take some sort of a leisure type activity and build a spirit of domestic tourism within VFR. The other part of it is business as well. So business, we see a great rise in business. However, we need to do exactly the same thing. They've got a very exciting promotion with SARTA, the Association of Travel Agents of South Africa, to work within the large government and corporate environments to see how we can actually encourage business travelers to spend another day. So, you know, fly to Johannesburg for a business trip on a Friday, actually spend the weekend there and enjoy it. Go to Johannesburg for a weekend, a business trip, spend another night. I remember in the old days, and I'm showing my age now, you could buy one ticket and get one free, take your spouse and those sorts of things. So we work with how we can actually unlock some of the policies as well. It's interesting, a lot of the commercial businesses have policies whereby you cannot stay on. We're working to get them to change the policies to say that while the people are already there, get them to encourage to be a traveller in our own country, and that way it builds business into the holiday type thinking as well. Total spend, as I've explained, is up significantly, and as is the average spend, your total spend, I'm speaking go down into details about where the nets end up, but the average nets are down, and our provincial share of trips is still driven by cutting, followed closely by Limpopo, which is always the basis by KwaZulu-Natal. Looking at geographic spread, as I say, this is a key, geographic spread as being a key delivery of as a season. International arrival show a great spread of visitors. As you well know, and it's pertinent to mention that tourism month has always been a focus on the leisure travel provinces. So a lot of work has been done in the Free State now. We'll start showing into the future. We're always interested to measure that metric and see just how much tourism month does impact on the geographic spread. A lot of work that we do now as well as on tourism is that while Oxford is our key hub, we do want to encourage international arrivals to spend at least one night in Gauteng before moving out into the outlying areas. and we're seeing a big improvement in that. We moved from an average of 0.8 nats, so literally using it as a hub, to 1.4 nats per minute every other period. Total tourism revenue, we see an increase in revenue across all countries. And we look at where the sales comes in by region, if you want to make any more analysis, that is in the annexure attached to you. So then we go into our conventional KPI, the key performance areas that we have negotiated and agreed. And this then becomes, again, the issue of the fact that we are presenting January to March, but these are the only stats that we have from stats today. So we will continue to work on the lab, as I say, and continue to see how we can enhance on this. Our international arrivals, the increase in the number of travelers into South Africa, showed a fantastic improvement, and whilst we talk about, and yes, there still is the improvement curve to develop, but one of the key drivers that we see coming through right now is the fact that South Africa is offering such great value for money in terms of the impact of the rand. The other very interesting dimension happening, because of all the safety and security issues happening around the world, in random acts of terrorism that the deputy chairs allude to, but the metric that we see coming through right now is that South Africa is being seen as a safe destination. And that is the first for us. That increasingly, we are on the rise being seen as a safe destination. While there's an understanding around crime, there isn't a concern around random acts of terrorism. And we're seeing a big resurgence from some of the conventional markets that have been put off for safety and security reasons for us. So in the June figures that have been released recently, we saw a 98% increase in China, a 40% increase in India, remarkable figures. The Chinese particularly very security-driven. Contributing to South African economy by increasing the number of travelers in South Africa, our key metric is the number of domestic holiday trips. And that shows a decline on the basis of an extraordinary growth in total numbers based on the move of Easter. So it now becomes, the earlier comments have become very pertinent. We need to look at the total market of South African travellers and see how we can convert those into the tourism economy. Hence the work that we are doing in visiting friends and relatives and the work that we are doing within business. Looking at the total tourism revenue, we've seen a significant increase in the figures. Of the 22.5 billion was foreign arrivals and 8.8 billion domestic. Again, one of the key indicators of the successful tourism economy is the large proportion of that revenue to be driven by domestic and not by international. And I think that's one of the key focus areas that we really need to look at is how we can generate a very successful domestic tourism business. All the international studies show, whether we're looking at Brazil or China, in France, 66% of the revenues in France are driven by the domestic business. And I'm not looking at Euro business, I'm talking about the actual domestic business. A solid tourism business industry is driven by a successful domestic tourism business. So those things are concerned, but they really are the wrong way around, and that's something that we work on continuously. In building positive awareness of the South African curve, now we start getting into issues around our key metrics deliverables. We run a brand tracking survey across the year, September and February. So that 38% figure is a February metric, even though, Chair, again, to talk to your concern around the timing and the delivery of this, that's a February metric, so it's not even for the full period. And we're talking about another quarter one, or more the quarter one of calendar year, or the quarter one of the fiscal year. 38% is a concern. To have a brand positivity that is going down, the net impact is that it reduces the pool of those potentially wanting to buy within South Africa. And one of the key reasons for this is the decline. Whilst the decline in valuation of the rand is positive in terms of raising greater value for money within South Africa, it impacts dramatically on our international spend. Once you get that sort of impact on your international spend, the awareness that we can build this year alone, there's been a 24% erosion of our international budget, even though we have a 3% increase in treasury. So that metric alone is going to reduce the pool in terms of awareness. So positivity can only decrease accordingly because we just look into the volume of people on that. So what is the challenge for us as South African tourism? We have to find far more innovative ways to get a measure of positivity out there, because we know that that is the key measure. A positive brand awareness is a key measure in driving volume into the country. The contribution to the South African economy by increasing the number of the top 10 long-haul business events destinations. This again goes to the reporting issue around delivery and measurements throughout the entire year. So this is a measurement that we take because of the timing issue and the way in which it is addressed. This is a measure across the entire year, but we do have a measure for the first 6 months of the year, giving us 36 business events that have already been hosted with 17,314 business delegates hosted. So the question here, what role does the National Convention Bureau play? It plays a critical role in ensuring that there is a holistic positioning of South Africa across the world as a destination events country of choice. Yeah? So it's a one-stop shop that pulls everyone together and ensures that there is one holistic focus going forward. What is important to understand in this environment is lag time. We're talking about at least a 4-year lag time from the start of a conversation in terms of looking at attracting future events to the actual delivery of it, at least a 4-year lag time. So these events, these 36 that have taken place in the first 6 months, were being worked on in 2011 and 2012. And that's an important issue in terms of understanding just what the impact is and what the lagging is of it. Strategy 4, revaluing the value proposition of tourism, grading to inspire partners and stakeholders to deliver on the brand promise and quality visit experience. We're talking here about 1,251 graded establishments. There is an issue here that gets very confusing in terms of the number of graded establishments and when they don't join. So within the conventional, within those that have actually ended up removing themselves from the environment, there are a number of guest houses that have chosen to remove themselves out of guest house environment and gone into long-term rentals, as the market does just change, and that has a big impact in terms of what the returns are. There are also a number of establishments that come on board and very quickly cancel when they see that the basket of benefits is a long-term basket of benefits and not needed. But those then, once we rework them, come back into the equation and rejoin quite quickly. So in quarter 2, out of the number that has actually removed themselves, 50% of those came back into quarter 2. And we can extend those far more significantly in literature in terms of where we are. Strategy 5, revamping the value proposition of tourism grading to inspire partners and stakeholders to deliver on the brand promise and the quality of the experience. We are in the process right now of setting baseline scores. So the first time that we'll be able to actually deliver on this is going to be first February when we have baseline data with stakeholder engagement. However, what has happened in the last month, if you take what is going on in the industry, there has been a significant increase in stakeholder engagement, particularly through the relationship now. The Deputy Chair mentioned the issue around Indaba. Just to reinforce, the Indaba tender was absolutely completed. The process was completed, was gone through. What became very clear in terms of the responses that we received for that was there was not a value proposition that government could move forward on. It was absolutely not a value proposition that made financial sense to us as government and that could go forward and justify any kind of strategic investment partner. So it was fully completed. The full process was undergone, and we as an organization chose not to appoint anyone but to move forward in complete ownership of Indaba. What they have done is they've given us an incredible opportunity to engage with industry. So Amanda and her team have been going around and engaging with the broader sense of the industry to get their input to see what the response is, and it's been remarkably positive, despite what you may have seen in the media. It's been remarkably positive, and we have a new energy and a new excitement about how we can take Indaba forward. It's really important that we understand that Indaba as a tool allows us to deliver on a number of our other metrics, like delivering SME ways into this industry of ours. It allows us a different metric to be able to engage and drive the tourism business forward. So we feel very strongly and very passionate here about the fact that Indaba as a tool can be used holistically to drive a number of issues. Through our stakeholder satisfaction, we've also been doing a number of engagements with the trade around what kind of marketing we do. And we have a relationship with the TPCSA, our official business body, and TAMSA, as we well know, deliver 120 million rand in terms of our budget. So there's always been a bit of a discussion about how where that money gets spent. So we are now being very collaborative of how we actually do spend that Trump money and working very closely with the industry to say how would this best work, not just to deliver, not, and TAMSA historically has only been international marketing. Now what we've got them to agree on is to take that portion, a portion of that, and spend it on domestic marketing, building up SMEs, building relationships with them within the international markets, and really driving the business significantly differently. And for the first time, they're interested about it, we're interested about it, and we're talking on an ongoing basis at a completely different level. So we're really looking forward to setting those baselines, setting engagement matrix, and working forward to show just what value, and to test some of these assumptions and see what value the insurance has within marketing. Creating a culture of excellent innovation to improve effectiveness and operational efficiency. So we'll talk a bit more about stuff that we're getting to the figures, but we are in the middle of an organizational review. Coming out of the ministerial review, there was a question around the effectiveness of the South African tourism structure, and quite frankly, we had a question around the effectiveness of our structure going into two things that we're doing simultaneously. The one is relooking our marketing investment framework, which is the areas in which South African tourism operates in internationally. At the same time as we're doing that, we're looking at the organizational design best suited to deliver the 5 and 5 strategy that the Deputy Chair alluded to. If we're going to grow our business by 5 million new arrivals and also in domestic travelers within South Africa, how are we best suited to be able to deliver on that? And to that point, then, the self-satisfaction score becomes relevant. The unqualified audit, obviously, we're saying is not applicable in this quarter one performance, but no, I have to say, Tom, we know that we have, once again, an unqualified audit, which is absolutely remarkable, and congratulations to the Chinese team. But that will then, obviously, in terms of our reporting to you, come into our quarter four to the world. The percentage of staff turnover, we will talk to you a bit more in detail when we look at those percentages, but it is just talking to the fact that we are in the middle of a massive organizational development program, and we will be setting the structure and parameters for that according to what we need to deliver on. So the course profile, as you'll see, does not add up in the next sheet to the vacancies, and that is the closure of the NTA office, which is part of operational efficiencies. You'll see a difference in 3 current staff and 1 that's already in the base. So, to the vacancy and occupancy report, considering that I'm sitting as CMO and AAA CEO, you'll see the majority of vacant positions in marketing. The majority of positions in marketing, but obviously the majority of vacant positions in marketing, and is that of concern? The answer is no, that is not of concern as we speak. There are a couple of things happening simultaneously. One is the organizational review that I referred to. We do not want to employ, at this stage, until we understand what the optimum structure is, we don't want to employ in some positions unless it's absolutely essential. What we have agreed as a team is that unless an essential position, we will employ people. But over and above that, for example, in Central Africa and East Africa, we're testing a virtual hiring model. So while we had headcount in both those areas in market, we're testing a model that can feed into this market investment framework that can best tell us how to operate across the world. We've also shut down Italy office, and having Italy now out of France releases up an additional 80% of the budget that was being spent overhead there to be able to spend on it. So these figures, while they might look alarming from a percentage perspective, are very, very strategically decided in terms of how we are now going forward. By the time we get through our organizational restructuring, which will be in October, we will know exactly the optimal number. Maybe more, maybe less. We'll know the optimal number, we'll know what markets we're operating in, and we'll know how we can position people, the right people, also important, in the right places, to be able to deliver the most effective results as South African tourism. So they may look alarming, they are not. I'm Carolyn. Equity uptake. We at this stage we look at it against the economically active population, and we know we have some concerning figures in that. And we are very, very cognizant of the fact that we need to work closely with getting an aligned South African tourism within that figure. Finally, strategy 7, the business of having tourism is the foremost authority in tourism and business events underpinned by quality assurance. This is going to be our greatest challenge and test, but it was very encouraging to read in the Financial Mail coming out this week that they're actually quoting South African tourism as almost authority, but at least it's authority to tourism. So it's starting to penetrate society. A lot of this depends on the accuracy of our stats, showing that we are holistic in terms of how we release information, when we release information, but more importantly, to show that we understand the innovations that are needed within the world of destination marketing and be able to share those with our media stakeholders and position ourselves accordingly. So, now we're saying review the leisure tourism market portfolio, and that's what we're in the middle of. Our marketing investment framework is reviewing the leisure tourism market portfolio, and it's doing it in a far more collaborative way than ever before. We are consistently talking to our stakeholders and encouraging collaboration to ensure that we understand fully the markets that we're going to. We are developing this for the members who remember the portfolio, so we currently sit in the portfolio. This is the development of the new portfolio, to or want of a better word. But given the fact that portfolio is a word used mainly in political opinions, we're talking about the marketing investment framework rather. And what's important now is to ensure that we operate and work in markets that not only give us the maximum return on investment, but they also make sense from a short-term and a long-term perspective. We need to build into this model some sort of flexibility as well. Historically, we've locked into our portfolio for years, and we haven't been able to move outside of that, despite things like the collapse of Brazil as an economy. So this is going to be a very important part of how we deliver going into the future, and it's going to be critical in terms of ensuring that all our stakeholders on board understand just where we spend what is actually internationally a very limited amount of money and how we spend it most effectively. I'd now like to hand over to the CFO to talk us through the financial performance.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I'll start with the first slide. I think first I'll give you an indication of the total budget, how much we've spent. You can see on the graph or the pie chart that 30% of the budget has been spent and 70% has been spent. Before we go to the details, some of the challenges we had was the split for the international market, what the new trade regulations in terms of central supplier red lines, where they require some information in terms of ID numbers and also bank account number, which is in terms of foreign policy, we are not a foreign trade, I think we're not allowed to do that. The trade regulations they can't relieve, exchange that amendment in the regulation, and from the 5th of June, the foreign countries don't have to comply with all of those regulations anymore in terms of the same of the event. So then there was some of the reasons for the delay in some of the spending also. If we go to the second next slide, I think here we talk about more about the revenue side. So even for the government grant, and here I think you've mentioned about the hedging, let me give it also, you will see 370 million more than we have budgeted for, because normally what a government and the department do, they transfer our funds in quarter transfer, and every year we need to apply from the Treasury to give us the money up front to mitigate the risk of currency exposure. So every year, there's not a kind of standing approval, we need to approach Treasury every year. But they do the Treasury also, they look at the cash flows, can they support us, can they not support us, and in terms of that, they didn't approve the cash flows. So the cash flows are only approved late in the year after we've approved our ATPs. So we right at the end of March, they approve the cash flow, and then we only know that our new cash flows when they have approved that. That's the reason why we could not adjust our first actual budget in the first quarter. So that's the reason for that, so in terms of the mitigating of the currency exposure. This is now for the third year, the Treasury has done so, which helped us a lot, so there was no currency losses at the moment. Commentary, As the CMO has indicated, although there is 99 million there, you will remember, we reported when we built the budget and the strategic plan that from the 120 million rand, 50 million or 15% of that will be retained by COMSA, and COMSA will then have a collaborative fund with Sector Up and Tourism for on a rand basis, where they participate in joint marketing agreements. And that's the reason for the 99 but at the end, there's still money with them. So what they've done is in terms of our good performance, or the good performance of tourism, they collected more money. So in terms of the agreement with TOMSA, 7% they can retain as administrative fee, 50% for collaboration fund, and the rest of the fund will go up. That 10% of 10 million rand increase in the, as a result of the increased business in Africa. In the other, meeting Africa revenue, perhaps this is predicted to that, and also I gave the reason to that. Meeting Africa, remember in February, so we can only discuss revenue after February, so we cannot discuss any information there. So that's why it's 25 million to profit 51 million. And then in Daba, we cannot find out through that in our financial statement or in our record, unless we have audited the final year. So we have received the final audit, we presented to the audit committee in August, we presented the board in August, so we will, in the second quarter, we will then disclose also the actual revenue that we have received from Indaba. When I asked the question, Indaba was at the beginning of May, why haven't you reported that in June? It's also a coming issue because you must see all the information, it must be audited, you must go to the company which kind of gives it, the event management company to make sure everything that we give you the report. So that's the reason why the timing is a bit out of danger. Grading fees, I think the CMO has reported that we have due to cancellations, there were less, I think 24 properties less or something, or 42 I can remember, less, that's the reason for the grading fees revenue coming down. And summary revenue, I must just put also the word late. I'm a bit afraid of the word, using the word late in the explanation there. And the reason for the late is that remember we receive the money from the treasury and then we invest the money across the world. So in some instances the country is 0% interest, in some of the countries, some of them 1%, some of them a bit more. But we received the money on the 18th of April, nothing wrong with NDT, it's not a problem, because as I've explained, we approach the treasury transfer the funds to them, and then they transfer the funds to us. So that's a result of accruing their interest on our account. So, but over time, we will then also see what will happen with the increase in the interest. So I think that is the revenue, as I've explained. You know, administration, well, almost on target day, and the reason for the vacant positions, which will be the main reason why we haven't achieved target day. The leisure tourism, minus 126 million land, if you go through the detail, you will see that Africa has not spent, only money, I think they've spent 14%, we'll get to that, of their money. And the reason for Africa was also a huge problem with the CSD in terms of registration of the different company. So that's been done, we've dealt with that. In the second quarter, all is being, we're looking at spending up to target. So we are happy with that. Business events, we have seen more due to more account payments we have done in terms of the double events. Tourism grading down. The reason for that is, as I've explained there, is for the implementation of the strategy. We have received the plan for that now and we're looking on that. The special order has been already in captured on the second quarter, so that's also done. Also from the tourism grading is also a team that we've acquired to restore it. And the coach is also too long. I don't know if the members are aware that if you do tenders or sole providers, it's a bit of loose to apply and help. Many stuff must go back to the treasury. So there is a time that like, we are busy dealing with that also to make sure that we do not lose performance. In terms of marketing, I think the upfront commitment says project in media part. So if we want to go to the different budgets, I think the various prices have already spoken to that. If one looks at the domestic and Africa, it has about the rates are kind of the green prices, we have to look at. They are spending 30% from budget. The rate budget is more really challenges we had to appoint people in terms of the change of supply railways, and because some of these sales are big, and we hope that one at least be. If we move to the next slide, the country offices. I think that the biggest problems were the, it was in London, for example, that's where we had a big challenge in terms of the CSD, otherwise we would have exceeded that target also. So that is kind of one of our big budgets, so that's also the challenge we had. But we did that, we have to resolve that, and we've already requested the Treasury to, when they issue a kind of new regulations, just consult with us and have other people who are foreign countries, so that we can give at least advice where our challenges from our side. Then I think the last slide is more spend out of 100%, how much, what's the percentage of each country, that this slide is here. Thank you.
Thank you, Rastika. Moving on, governance, we have a fully constituted board with 13 appointed members of the potential full quota of 14 who meet regularly and effectively and have a board charter, terms of reference for board committees. As the deputy DA said, we have just come out of a two-day board la quota, which is typically held in August to look at strategic issues. So, to end the presentation chat, the first really is what I've alluded to a number of the areas of that we're focusing on right now as South African tourism. Obviously what we are interested in now is the draft of the strategic plan and performance plan. Feeding into that critically are some of the major projects that we're undertaking now. The one is the marketing investment framework, which is where we, for the next 3 years, as South African tourism, will be focusing our spend internationally. The second big piece of work that we're undertaking as we speak is paid research. South African tourism hasn't done any major research into the paid environment since 2009. And 7 years in this industry is a very long time. Trade has moved significantly in terms of the role that they play, not just in conversion, but in the actual presence of South Africa to the world, and we need to understand what that does and how it does it. The third big piece of work that we're doing is the organizational design, and that talks to how we are going to effectively structure and source the right people to work in South African tourism, and that will require some sort of strong strain and change management plan and business reengineering to really position the right people in the right places to deliver the most effective results that will hold our 5 in 5 strategy. Coming out of all of that, and it's just time the APT, which are going to be remarkably developed as a result of all these pieces of work and the focus around the 5 in 5, we will deliver our divisional plan for 2017 and 2018. And that ends our presentation. Thank you very much, and we look forward to hearing your comments and questions.
Thank you for the presentation, honorable members in Tarongate.
Honorable Adam, Honorable Kumbo, Honorable Mercedes, Honorable Olof, Honorable Dewa. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters. The first question is to the CFO. You see, you've given us a chart, business unit actual versus budget, 24 and 25, and you're given us red faces, and you've given us green faces, and they tell their own story. Can you explain to me, for example, the unit of CEO, the percentage of budget spend 145%, and at this stage, what have you done to turn the red faces to green faces? Then there was on slide 23, with regard to the leisure tourism, there is a lower spending. Is that as a result of a skills deficiency? that Rishabha doesn't know how to spend. Why is there a lowering of spending? What resulted in that? Madam Chairperson, with regard to the Indaba, I'm not satisfied with the answers I got. The Indaba was, I think, the 8th, 9th, the 10th of May. And it's 3 months down the line. We have no clarity about that, the revenue that was. It's a yearly event. It's an annual event. You should have at this stage, and I'm only in the portfolio from 2014, but at this stage you should have something in place around this. You can't come and tell us and say this and that is not that. Because if you don't do that, your risk is increasing. And is your risk management sufficient to don't let these risks slip through? I talk about the risk and the vacancy rate, I'm not satisfied with it. I would out if my math is correct. The vacancy rate at this stage is 13.9%. And I think that's a too high vacancy rate. I'm talking at slide 17. And can you tell us then, CEO or Deputy Chair for the Board, by when? When we get the HP, will this vacancy be sunk? Is there a time point? Because that is very important. And then you see the employment equity is updated 100%. My opinion was not under the groups such as people with disability. I would be grateful for them. Are they included here? I would have liked you to focus on that group. I'm interested in the visiting friends and the relatives. We are always talking about all the medical traveling that isn't up, that doesn't go up enough. Now you said, CEO, 60% of the business in France is due to domestic business. What can they do that we are not doing? And I've asked our staff also, have you a picture where this visiting place and the relative, where it is concentrated? I know it's all over, but there must be some spots that are more visitors. For example, Gauteng or Western Cape or Eastern Cape. We know our cultural activities and we know where the cultural activities hubs are. What can you as entity do that would increase the spending of the tourists for visiting friends and relatives? That's what I want to know. Because we're always saying visiting friends and relatives, but they're not spending enough. What can we do? If we go and look at the international example, France for example, what are they doing? Does it mean that we as entity doesn't focus, must get an extra focus, zoom into some of those areas. The other thing I want to know, Chairperson, on slide 4, the provincial share of trust. Some provinces feature very prominently here, and I see for example that okay, from the first quarter in 2014 to 2016, they up from 14% to 25%. What did you do to have that increase? Why don't you give us the numbers of the other provinces also? Are they very small figures, but we would like to know. We'd like to see there are 9 provinces in this country. And we must zoom into the provinces that get least visited. And can you perhaps give us a reason why some of these provinces, I know it's a difficult question, but What can the other provinces do? I'm glad to see the Eastern take these features here. But I don't see my province here. I don't see my province. And we have flowers now.
Which is?
Northern Cape. Northern Cape. We have flowers now in very, some of the most beautiful flowers in the world. Why are they there? What are you doing to attract them? The KPIs. KPIs are a target that you should reach. As I see, you only reach 5 out of 14, and if my math is correct, then it's 35.7 rate. Which means more than 64% of our KPI customers are from region. That is a big, big problem. And I would like them to say what challenges we can get for reaching your KPI. Because we must reach our KPI. And then, Chairperson, there's forever the talks with the National Treasury. I would like to give tell us more in detail so that we can understand. And look, we have a Chairperson here. That Chairperson can be talking to Chairperson of fine appropriation. And tourism is one of the six doctors. Chair, the influence you must have. So that we can engage with the portfolio committees that is relevant. Please,
Chairperson. Thank you. I've got some several questions for clarity and then more overall generalized questions I'd like to put. If I can start on slide 3. In the course of the presentation, reference was made to first quarter being January to March. You said that it's covered by January to March, which leads me to believe that the proposal must be October-December. Some of the slides, the quarter that's being talked about is one of 2016-2017. I'm not sure. Are we ending on the financial year or ending on the calendar? Alright, on slide 4, I'm trying to figure out what the last column means. Percentage growth 16 obviously as opposed to 2015. Where is the number? The percentage is higher. Where are percentages making higher? So if you look at the fourth row, for example, the spending by purpose, there's absolutely no relationship in the last column to the previous three. So I'm assuming what's happening there is that you've taken that 54% and the 93% and the 114%. And then also in the second row, 70% and -2% and 116%. And that is actually a percentage difference in the actual quantum of spending, not of that spending as a percentage of the total spending. But it's very confusing. The committee should have to work it out for itself. So I don't know if I have one or the other, but to put it like this where the percentages and the comparative columns make no sense. Not particularly helpful. Alright, in the last row, a provincial share of trust, domestic tourism performance. I find it strange that, I know it's domestic tourism and not international tourism, but is it really so that the Western Cape is not even in the top 5 with people who actually travel domestically? Is that so? And on the next page, when you look at the geographic spread of tourism, it's the second most on everything. Second most on arrivals, second most on spend, in fact the most on length of stay, and the second most on banner. So it was actually quite strange that there's a complete performance when it comes to domestic, but that's how it is then, I understand that's how it is. Then on slide 25, it's just an appeal. I made this same appeal last time you were here. You quoted the spend in the local currency, and if you don't know what the exchange rate is to quite a number of countries, it's very hard to work out what you're actually spending. Okay, so I mean, 21 million
I take it he didn't repeat. What is that in rank? So if you're going to do that, that's fine, but it's not a very helpful figure to ask. Because we'd be better to convert that into rent so we could get an idea of what the rent spend is in each country. And then we understand perhaps a little more about the different color faces. There's no blue face there, so it's quite rancid, anyway. Alright. If I can then look at the two things that are more in. I just want to say that this is one of the thinner reports we've had. I've been on this committee for three consecutive parliamentary terms now, and we used to do quite detailed reports from SAT. We haven't really got the same level of detail today. So it's very much a consolidated report with not too many of the aggregate figures making up the total, or the components of the aggregate figures. So it's sometimes a bit difficult to penetrate some of it. But, you know, you can screw anything with statistics, provided you choose the base that you want to choose to make the point you want to make. And with respect, I think some of the presentation was after that. So if I look at page 4 again, and I look at the very first row, and we talk about total trips and domestic performance. Now, you have said that it's a worry that what should be underpinning the tourism market is domestic tourism, and that has not reached target. So that is, I think, transparent. So you have a 60% increase from 2015. Okay. Go back to 2014, it's actually less than 2 years ago. 7.8 million trips to 7.3. It's actually a decline over the 2 year period. But you've chosen to make a base 2015. Now, bearing in mind that this is one of the key indicators that the President identified in Kona as the sector of the economy, one of the sectors of the economy that he expected to grow South Africa generally, economically, I'd be really worried if in fact the decline in domestic social trips actually has extended for 2 years, because if this is one of the drivers of the economy going backwards, then we're in really serious trouble. And it actually underpins what we are told by analysts and economists that in fact the economy is at the point of shrinking. So I'd like you to comment on the fact that it's actually gone backwards. Has not in fact gone 60% up, because that's only comparing to a year which was very bad for reasons you mentioned, the Ebola crisis, etc. And we have a certain embargo where the minister actually talked about the increase from 2015 to 2016 and how much the figures have done. And so that session chaired by, Richard Quest. And so he took a question from the lady, I think, from Thornton, and said, actually, your increase from 2014, which is the true base you should be working from, is very, very much less, and in fact, it was actually very low. So, what I'd like you to do is to maybe restate in your answer to us, that's how we're really doing compared to 2014, because I feel that picture is not nearly as positive as comparing to 2015. And my last point is this, and it's kind of expressed by the way you put your targets there. So you've got a benchmark target, and you compare yourself in your operational performance review, or organizational performance review, as you call it in this document. You compare the actual performance of that to the target that you set. The target is just a number. Okay. And I guess it's not a neutral process as to how one arrives at the target and then how one measures oneself against the target. But it does seem to me that what we should be saying as SAT is, where actually do we want the tourism market to be, both domestic and international? And how are we actually doing, and express that not just in numerical form, but in fact a more nuanced, carefully scattered narrative as to where we are compared to what the position should be, where we should actually be as a country, bearing in mind what we have, taking into account really the long-haul destination challenges that we have, but also the unique experience we can offer people in this country. And I'm not sure that a report of this nature, which leaves out that kind of assessment, is complete. Because if I look at the figures holistically, and I look at the decline, there's actually been a decline in domestic tourism over the last 2 years. And I reflect what we in fact could be doing both domestically and inbound tourism. And that's actually obligated to give us some kind of assessment as to whether in fact we're reaching our potential or not. And that means the critical thing. Are we doing everything? Are we achieving everything? In terms of arrivals, in terms of service spend, in terms of deadline. Viewed in the light of how we should be doing, rather than just putting a number there and saying, well, we've got this percentage of it and that percentage of it, and then taking a nice base view that suits our purposes to have a report, which is actually what comes across. So, I'll be very frank with you, because I think that's the relationship we've had with the department over the years. And I'd like you to tell me whether, in fact, from the point of view of not just numbers, but actually the point of view of having reached our potential or not. And to what extent are we operating below potential, bearing in mind the product that we have to offer in this country? And go beyond the figures a little bit and tell us your assessment of that.
Thanks, Chair. My question around your lead marketing agent, which is FCB. Well, I understand that you've appointed this FCB to be a lead marketing agency for both domestic and international tourism. But what I want to find out is the period that this lead marketing agent is sought for, and the skills transfer or capacity transfer coupled with this exit strategy, because I don't see you sourcing a lead marketing agent for the rest of your existence. At some point, you need to be having internal capacity. So perhaps, Chairperson, through you, they can answer, give us answers to this, but also give us the agreement or what their contract is to FCB. Because it's a one factor when you have a personnel within your within the entity who are supposed to be doing this both marketing sort of like both domestic and internationally. You saw someone who was still get where there's maybe no capacity enough within the entity within South African tourism. But then we need to be given preview or taken into confidence to say, as much as this FCB is doing the work, how are they capacitating the entity? And when they leave, this would be what FCB has transferred to yourself. And then the second question is around the issue of Indaba. You know, it's a bit worrying. Today, last year, or this year, we're told that we are want to get a partner on board, and then you give us, you take us into confidence, you give us the strategies, the reasons why you want to take a partner on board. And overnight, you come here, you say, no, we don't see the benefit of having or sourcing out the work of Indaba because we've seen 1, 2, and 3. It means all along the reasons that made you think you wanted to have a partner are no longer there. It then tells me that, you know, we are operating somewhere else where today you see yourself as not having enough capacity to actually carry on with Indaba. You want to bring a partner which is going to perhaps going to take the shape of a triple P, and then down the line you no longer see the feasibility of that. I mean, sitting here I'm thinking now we have a serious problem. Because today you wake up, you think you are going to do this. The next day you wake up, you're no longer going to do this. You need to take us into confidence. I'm now beginning to worry about yourself as an entity, you know? When you presented and gave us your confidence to the reason behind you getting it. Well, I'm not saying you are wrong not to have a partner or you should be having a partner, but I'm just looking at the discrepancies and the information that is coming to us. Perhaps it would be proper for you to step into confidence on the reason why it was the reason why not was the reason of why you had given us a previous. Thank you.
Now let me check. Let me just take the presentation from the index. I'm going to go to slide 12. We have seen a number of business event meetings, 688. Okay, can you explain to the committee where this meeting takes place? Let's go to slide 21. The Thompson ladies. Can you explain to us as a committee that the money that has been allocated, the additional money that has received from Thompson ladies, where is allocated to? Let's go to slide 27. Can you share with us how much money, I mean the remuneration of the board members, how much you spend on that as a committee? Mm. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. I want to start off by saying that if tourism works, then South Africa works. So therefore, it's very important for the entity together with the National Department of Tourism to work well in order for us to deliver on our mandate to ensure that ultimately more work economic opportunities are created within this industry, considering the vast contribution that tourism makes to our economy. So therefore it is important that these reports presented to our committee speak to the targets, ultimately making sure that we would be able to deliver on these key mandates, and I want to focus on four. The first one is the SAT relationship with provinces. We know that SAT is responsible for marketing, and we know that destination marketing is very important, but ultimately the relationship with provinces then becomes key, because many of the provinces have their own marketing strategies, and I think as SAT it's important that there's an overarching message. The new Tourism for All advertisement that is currently airing on television showcases so many different aspects of tourism, but it doesn't give a definite message on what is on offer. It's a very nice advertisement, but I don't think really it speaks to the uniqueness of each province and what's on offer in terms of our tourism landscape. So we are now in Tourism Month, and therefore it makes sense for us to actually find out what is on offer in each province, what makes the different provinces unique. Honourable Adams mentioned the Northern Cape and the flowers, etc. But each province definitely has a unique standpoint, and I think that is the work of SAT to showcase the uniqueness of each province, whether it's the different type of aspects of business tourism, marine, if it's the coastline, if it's adventure, medical. So each province definitely has something you need to offer, and I therefore I do believe that there should be a better relationship between SAT and the provinces so that we can market those provinces much more effectively. That also comes to the next point of the municipalities, and I've made this point previously, that many of the municipalities do not know how to deliver on effective marketing of their regions. Various reasons, and I don't want to go into that now, but I do believe in ultimately considering the work of SAT, but then it becomes key for you to work even closer with some of these municipalities to assist them with their marketing strategies. Now we've seen in the past some municipalities attempting to market their areas, and they felt miserably because they don't have the skills and the expertise to market their regions effectively. So for example, they'll take a name of a person, because many of our municipalities are named after people, and then they'll market the person's name as the region, instead of marketing the region and the uniqueness of that region. So they're not really to blame, but I think there needs to be some intervention from LAT in assisting various of these municipalities with their destination marketing strategies. We know that there's a tourism toolkit developed by the National Department of Tourism that is supposed to assist municipalities in this regard, but considering your work as a marketing agent, I do believe that you need to definitely assist in this regard and not let it only over to the National Department of Tourism in terms of the toolkit, because that toolkit, if I remember correctly, also doesn't speak necessarily to destination marketing. It talks more about product development and making products market ready. But we know the third step is destination marketing. I think that's where there's perhaps a lack. Then on the domestic tourism, Madam Chair, previous speakers have alluded to the fact that in many instances domestic tourism figures are down. Now, it also comes down to the issue of affordability. And again, in the month of tourism, we've seen some provinces making some of their attractions more affordable and also giving free access. I think in terms of SAP's marketing, that's what you need to do. That advertisement, coming back to the advertisement, it's a beautiful advertisement, but unfortunately it lacks the uniqueness of each province or of the different product on offer. We know that affordability and the geographic spread were the two major issues identified as stumbling blocks in terms of increasing domestic tourism or contributing to domestic tourism growth. And I think really there needs to be some work done in this regard so that we assist and help some of those provinces and regions. And other partners, for example, Sandbox. You know that Sandbox has now come on board in terms of making some of their facilities much more accessible in terms of discounted tariffs, etc., for South African citizens. And I think that should be marketed by SAP. But the last point under domestic tourism is that of roots development. I really believe that there is big advantage in terms of route development. But we know that perhaps might be the work of municipalities, but again, product development and marketing of those routes goes hand in hand. So while some of these role players at the local level are developing routes, MIT should assist with the marketing again and not leave it only to those locals. I really believe there should be much more synergy in this job. Grading Council. And what has been said about the Grading Council, and I think again, if one considers the reason of, or the main purpose of grading is to ensure quality assurance. Now, FCP was appointed by SAT last year as a marketing destination. And it's also about brand positivity. They failed to meet their target claiming the rate losses. And grading positivity and grading goes hand in hand. So if grading was compulsory, the grading budget for grading could be redirected as incentives. Now, again, it comes to that debate of whether grading should be compulsory or whether it should be voluntary, and how do we market it as such. We've also seen that many of these establishments have closed down. So again, we need to find out exactly what are the reasons for them to close down. And if they've been graded, how do we ensure that they are again graded to ensure consistency and also to ensure that there is much better quality assurance in this regard? Much has been also said about the main purpose for domestic tourism, visiting family and friends. It's even been said once that the main reason why South Africans travel is for funerals. We need to change that completely around. But the only way that we can change it is actually to do a stop-take exercise. And I started off with this by going and finding out what is the uniqueness in each province so that we use the different type of tourism infrastructure and the tourism landscape that's on offer as a means to promote those tourism offerings instead of only having the number one reason for people travelling domestically for visiting friends and family. Then, Madam Chair, airlift or air access. Now, in Western Cape, for example, they've introduced an airlift strategy, which is really delivering amazing results. where the Western Cape government, together with the city of Cape Town, are marketing the province and finding new routes and direct access to some of the key source markets. Now, for example, from the United Kingdom, there will be many more direct flights coming in as a result of these negotiations, as well as North America, that's next in line with a direct route between Miami and Cape Town. So there's definitely benefit in an airlift strategy, and I didn't hear much about that from this presentation. So what is that doing to promote the other provinces in terms of establishing more direct routes? Because with more direct routes, we will have more international visitors coming into our country. But that comes to the next point about streamlining tourist facilitation. The Deputy Chairperson mentioned that the unabridged visitor certificate still being a problem in the key source markets of Canada and the United States. The argument could be extended that even in the United Kingdom, it's been reported that there are still an average of 40 people per day being denied boarding rights or allowing them to be to board in order to visit South Africa. And this is a big trouble or big concern, because it impacts again on our destination of choice, brand positivity. Because we know that many of these travelers can easily choose a different country. So we need to find a way to streamline tourist facilitation. So the Interministerial Committee has introduced some concessions, but they haven't gone as far as to do away with the unabridged birth certificate requirement, and even to consider electronic visas. I remember last year that SNT did report that there are some studies underway to introduce electronic visas. So how far are these studies in terms of taking us into that space? Because that will really reposition South Africa in terms of making sure that we can attract more international visitors if we streamline tourist facilitation by allowing people to apply online for a visa and even doing away with the other beach birth certificate requirement. Then, with regards to Indaba, this is my point. Much has been said by the previous speakers about Indaba, and I want to echo their sentiment in this regard. The Indaba is a very important tool to promote the different tourism products on offer, and of course I'm a colleague event hosted by the National Department of Tourism and SAT. But the appointment or the imminent appointment of a strategic partner, the announcement in this regard, really excited the industry and many other role players. Now this morning's announcement that they are no longer going to appoint a strategic partner but instead opt for an event organizer really needs some clarification. We need to understand what is the thinking behind this, because at one point the announcement was really at a very good time, just prior or before Indaba took place. And now at the end, coming back and saying that it should rather go the route of strategic partner really needs some clarification to understand what is the reason behind it, because there's been reports already that the international buyers attending Indaba declined by almost 40%. And also there's the date uncertainty. When is the next Indaba now taking place, in fact? So those things really need to be clarified. So today's presentation comes again at a good time for you to come and clarify and provide the committee with information in this regard, because these trade shows are very, very important, because it really provides an opportunity for people to showcase their products and also to assist SMEs to come into the market and create that opportunity for them. And lastly, Madam Chair, just as a closing comment, and it goes straight to the point that the Deputy Chair made earlier today about the reasons impacting on tourism growth, Ebola, visa, etc. The last one, of course, the most important one, perhaps, is crime. We know this morning that the crime stats are being released. And it's just come to my attention that murder rate is up, robbery rate is up, and the contact crimes has increased. That's the latest information that's just been released. And that's really a big concern, specifically for us in tourism, because it really, crime really impacts on tourism and jeopardizes South Africa's ability to attract tourism investment. So again, the question about the cross-cutting ministries, opportunity here for this department to work much more closer with the Department of Police to ensure that we not only deliver a safer South Africa for South Africa, but also for people visiting our country. We know that we know about the incident of an American being injured while attending a conference in South Africa a few months ago, with some warnings being issued by Britain and by the United States about warning their citizens about visiting South Africa. That really jeopardizes our ability to attract tourism investment into our country. So what is SAT doing in this regard? But not so much SAT, also the Department of Tourism, working closer with the Department of Police to make sure that we send out the right message, because we really need to work much harder in this regard. And Honorable Adams, you will be blessed to know that the Northern Cape was the only province which saw a decrease in crime, but all the other provinces saw an increase. And that's really worrying, considering the work that we are doing to promote South Africa and to make sure that we promote it as a country of choice for trade, tourism and investment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Next is the Honourable Sophie, I think.
Okay. My issue is on the workforce profile, Chairperson. Just a single question. Seeing that they have a number of eight employees who are employed as temporary employees. If one may establish, how long does it keep people under temporary employment? Do they sort of enter into contact with them for a certain period? And if then that work that they've been doing is sort of official, they get them in case there are other options that come up. Do they sort of first take them as preference and bring them back for those jobs? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Let me join my other colleagues in appreciating the report. I am happy to see the reflection on the domestic trend, though I'm not 100% happy when I see that not all provinces are covered. I support you, Honorable Adams, when you say all provinces must, we want to see the trend in all provinces. What I also want to say to reflect is the issue of difference in when you reflect on provincial share of trips. There's difference there. I look at the KZN, I look at the Eastern Cape. I also noticed that the Eastern Cape, my province, that my own province, is less visited. Though it is the highest in visiting other provinces, what is it that other provinces are doing well that we are not doing? We must assist them as a team that our province be visited. We also suggested the issue of those smaller business events. This must assist that so that all provinces are visited. I'll start wearing a, from next week, I'll start wearing a t-shirt that says today, have you been to the Eastern Cape so that I start marketing my own province. I am also an ambassador for that province. Do this province for the Eastern Cape. I am also confused about this issue of financial aid when I was looking at when it was saying it's a first quarter report, because when you talk municipalities, we talk a different financial aid, when we talk pool, different financial aid, when we talk this level, different outreach is one financial aid for South Africa, so that we don't get confused. My other concern was around the issue and slide 13 under organizational performance, where you were reporting a 10% under performance on created rooms, where you only stated or that as a contributing factor, but in your presentation you also highlighted the issue of DSPs and whatever. So what is written here is different from what you presented, because you also included in your presentation the other establishment like BNP. I also want to be reminded of the letter to collect the tax on arrivals. Are you dependent on tax
South Africa, or is there another method of recorded arrivals to the country? The other thing that I was interested in is the way you say, I had a question around when you were profiling your workforce. I had a question around the vacancies under marketing, because I think marketing is your core and key function, but your response to that satisfied me for now. It may not satisfy me in the next quarter, but for now, your response has satisfied me. I think all other questions I was covered by other colleagues of mine, but I am always reminded of the strategy that reflects on your APP on domestic tourism. That strategy that reflects a must work for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, the financial year, according to the PSMA, which you all subscribe to, it starts from after the budget. The budget is from March onward. It's from April. 1 April onward, quarterly. This department is disjunctured, and I think it is important to have the corrected to the highest level. I understand they talk to Treasury, they do this, but they are not in line with the business. And my concern is, SSA now produces figures, statistics monthly. It was something else before, toward the end of 2015. But 2015, toward the end, statistics have been coming out monthly. And surprisingly, when we found provinces to check on their statistics, they just come up with them. And one cannot say that guess, but they come up with them. That's the issue of the financial year. The issue of other issues such as crime, other departments, tourism is dependent on other departments. The problem in government, I shall assume, is that everybody works in silos. Though there is intergovernmental relations, but somehow each works in silos. And of course, for other departments, tourism is at the periphery from other departments. Because even the department that should actually be working strictly on visa, whatever, facility, tourist, and campus, because of that it.
Domestic tourism. We were promised by SAC that in 2015 they were given 100 million solely for domestic tourism. And we were informed that they would use a 70-30 ratio. 70% selling, 30% actually doing it. But the take on domestic tourism is not as we expected it to be. Really, it's not as we expected it to be. Before you respond, I would just like to know, what is it that SAT is going to do differently from what it was doing with regard to Indaba? And we're also looking forward to SAT giving us relevant details regarding the conversion or converting the FR to laser tourism, so that we actually see the actual spend. Because if one goes home, comes back from home, but what was the actual spend? So is there any benefit of BFR? Maybe the woman look into that aspect. The new street name and APP must have quarterly targets on most of the issues reported on an annual basis. Your quarterly target at the end of his whole life, annually, what was achieved out of this package was the baby for my life. Is there any work that is done by LAT in the region? Yeah, you're serving the region one way or other, because you talk international. Then talking domestic, there is nothing to say about continental, so that we become aware what else we are interested to know about that. We read in literature that in fact in Europe they have got a Euro grading system, but then each country does its own thing. And the reason stated in that is to maintain the star of each establishment. Here we've got one time the hotel is 5 stars, next time we get to that hotel is 3 stars. So what is it? And so some establishments are opting out, and yet they would be most useful for visitors, because it depends how much cash people have, and it should also influence the number of days that they can stay in the country. And the topic that throughout has been talking about Southern Sun, and what else? Southern Sun. And what else was on the other side? There's something else?
It's City Lodge.
And the City Lodge. Nothing about the BMPs, nothing about other things. Can you relook at Shopnet and other short something? Millions of things. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you so much. And I must thank the Honourable Commissioner for very comprehensive questions which is important. So what I'm going to do, I think maybe to give you this, I'm going to group it into groups. So I'm going to have Amanda. I'm going to have to Amanda to address the questions around why we discussed the decision that we made around Indaba, the process that we followed, and why we decided not to go ahead with that. Amanda, when you get there, I'd like you to go through.
Why to do it differently?
And then close that. Those who are the chapters and ask an important question. What are we going to do differently in order to mitigate, in order to do that which we're expecting from what the strategic partner would have done, which is, I guess, Makube Mashele want to know, and the chairperson as well, and our chapter of the committee. I'm going to then also ask Tekiso Rakolizan to speak to all the questions about grading, about the grading council and Euro grading and what they do different and all that. I'll ask Tom to speak to all the questions about why the board is so overpaid and so underworked. I'm going to start by just answering one or two of them. One is the issue that was raised about the vacancy rate. I think that was raised by Honourable Evans about the 50% being too high. I think we agree that it is too high, but I just want to emphasize the point that Maggie had made when she started, that what we decided to do is that instead of filling those positions, let us allow the audit process to continue. And once we finish with the audit process, what we're going to learn out of the audit process is what is the ideal way to structure the organization, what is the ideal way to manage the various markets. And out of that, it may result in a consolidation of roles, it may result in an expansion of roles. We don't want to be preemptive as that. And the problem we see that if we bring it in now into the organization and the OG process ends up in a different way, then we end up having to redeploy people again within the organization or make other undesirable decisions such as letting people go. What we have committed and what we've always said is
our commitment is not to let go of anybody out in the voting process. So what we are certainly going to do of the audit process is to ensure that everybody is accommodated in the organization, and we'll be doing whatever it takes to ensure that they're accommodated productively. And what, if it means retraining, if it means upskilling, we will be doing that. So that's what we're going to be doing there. The second one again was a question by Honorable Makubele Mashele about FCE, the agency. Now, the agency was engaged for a three-year period starting 2015, and we've got an option of a two-year to extend the contract. The role of the or the scope of the agency was marketing services, and our marketing services, public relations, design, and all those media buying, planning, and coordination of our services are globally. What I want to emphasize there is that the agency is not doing work for South Africa. It's not replacing work that South African tourism could be doing itself. So we have not, what the organization does, SAT, is to lead the thinking, to lead the strategy, to focus on leading the various teams. But the agency doing it is in a support role. So for example, we cannot have a media buying role internally, because what agencies like the FCDs and all those have, they got hundreds and millions of other clients who pull together their money, and that enables us to be able to get better discounts when we are buying airtime or billboard space or orders. So that's also an example of the one area. But rather also they have a bigger team to enable media strategy planning, buying, and implementation. We don't need to have that role. It's not a core function of what we do. A core function of what we do is to ensure how do we access tourists, visitors, how do we communicate to them, how we connect with them. We plan the strategy, the agency enables us to deliver on those around the world. So the big question asked about what are we learning anything in terms of our skills transfer and all those. All agencies are pretty much doing similar assets. So one comes, one goes. But from a skills development perspective, the agency itself is led internally by not just the CMO, but the various functional leaders. So from a PR, there's a PR person who engages with the PR function of the agency, and their job is to lead the function. So if you will, there will be that the skills transfer will be more in terms of managing, leading, and just enhanced our strategies that we are getting from the agency. What we're getting from agencies is we're getting the benefit of scale, economies of scale, that they have access not just to what we do, but they have access to what everybody else is doing, and get to benefit from all of them. So that is the question on agency. From that, the chairman adequately articulated the questions that one of the four things around tourism facilitation and around crime and all those. I think we as an agency of the department, we constantly working with the department and looking to the department and giving suggestions and also supporting the department when it comes to interministerial efforts to alleviate some of the blockages or the obstacles to successful tourism. So we're all on the same page here as well as our organization, is that in order for tourism to succeed, it is an integrated or interdepartmental, interministerial. It is a South African challenge, not necessarily just a SAT department. Yesterday I was in Zimbabwe the whole day, and they were sitting and talking about the similar issues about how to facilitate tourism, and what they did have, which I guess we should all perhaps also take on to, in South Africa. They had the various ministers from the different functions and the different role players from the tourism industry. I guess that's something that we can also look into and explore in terms of how one can have an open forum like they did yesterday, where they bring in all the ministerial representatives and government representatives who impact tourism and also the tourism that we can. And other places are quite inspired that the private sector and government can work better. We've got here in South Africa the ability to do that, and we've demonstrated in many ways how we can do that. So my final comment, I must take back home to the good suggestions that we made, one by Honorable Force, in terms of perhaps how we can expand our role beyond just marketing, but also enhancing how we empower just the local municipalities, the provincial departments, so that they also can do what we are good at in doing across the country. So as we see our role is to create a halo, making South Africa an attractive overall environment. What they are best able to do is how to deliver in their local environment. But of course, they don't have the skills and the wherewithal to do it. Perhaps that's why I want to put it back home. It's an opportunity for us to see how we can enhance our role in what they are doing already. So without further ado, I'm going to start with Amanda. Amanda, can you please deal with all the Indaba related and all events related issues, or also questions raised about the geographic distribution of events. So we'll cover all those. And then when you finish, Maggie, I want Tekiso to deal with the gravy, and then Tom to deal with finance, and then Maggie, then we can deal with the rest of the questions around KPIs, around our domestic tourism, but very briefly. So, pretty Amanda.
Thank you so much,
Jay. Unlike your chair. This was ready to celebrate.
Thank you, Jay. Honourable members, I think it's a very fair remark that was made, but the process as was articulated by, or you know, that I need to articulate is that it's true that we were definitely looking into a strategic partner. We went out on tender as required. We got a preferred bidder, if I can put it that way. We went through the whole process. See, all that I can say, so I have to be to the point, that it was really a decision for government to not take the risk. It was a financial decision. The proposal that was on our table, that it was huge amounts of money that we had to invest whilst there were no equity. So a strategic partner, why we went out with a strategic partner is because we wanted equity. The equity that came into the proposal was off equity. There were no financial contribution. And we then got in our financial advisors, and they assessed the proposal, and we then had to go to the board to present to the board that the risk for South Africa as the South African government is too big. Are we saying now that we are taking it in-house? No. There's really nothing that actually changed from what the idea was. The idea was that we would have a strategic partner that will also play the role of the exhibition organizer. We are still going out on tender for an exhibition organizer. We just got from the board meeting, and the board gave us permission to go for 3 years, with the extension of 2 years, with very firm targets and measurables, deliverance. So that is really where we are today. So for 2017, we went out for a one-year tender for exhibition organizer. We are in the process of finalizing that. But for 2018 beyond, it will be an exhibition organizer through a tender process. So all that happened is that we don't have an equity partner that actually bought a stake into the rand and into Indaba. So all the new things that we do, I think it's important that we also have some, like we said, we go around in industry and have these one-on-ones with all our players around Indaba, and we will make a point, Chair, to also interview some of the honourable members as well as yourself. So that is something that we, and really the new things that we are thinking of is that we will, around the buyers program, making it a better business platform for our businesses to actually bring in and grow businesses as such. So that is really where we are with Indaba. The date, Chair, our date was confirmed. It was already sealed. The Economic Forum, the World Economic Forum, are at the moment in negotiation with the Durban ICC, and they actually are misplaced. They actually misplaced us now. You know, so we are in the final process of negotiating around the 10th, 11th, 12th of May for Indaba, and will announce next week firmly what the date is. But honestly, that is the reason World Economic Forum can't change the date. And Durban government and President provincial government really want the event to happen in Durban, and we can also understand because it is an important event for our country and for that region. So that is the reason why the date are now a little bit in the hanging. But next week we will confirm that when we confirm with the Durban ICC that we can actually use the statement as from the statement for build-up, because we now need between 8 and 9 days for build-up. And the forum is until the 6th of May. So that is, I hope I answered, I don't know if it's easy to just about the bias, it is, just to put it in context, that 900 is not the number. It actually was excluding a part. We did, when the question came through to Margie and to ourselves for comment, we did say that unfortunately it's the wrong number. We actually went down by 4%. So 1,500, and I actually had it here, 1,500 and something, and it's 1,500 and a little bit less. It's only 4%. Because it's all bias. It's a national, local, and regional bias. And the 900 was a different comparison. Just with the business event, business event happening, we did, Chief, through your request also, and we did submit a submission addendum to the committee, and the whole list of all the events are in there. They are mostly, as we know, because of these major conferences, they are mostly in the big cities, the 3 or 4, if I can include Tony with it. If you can go through the list on the building, you will see that there are some that was included, National Park, Stellenbosch, Port Elizabeth, as well as Sukuza. That is also, yeah, I'd like to add it in Sukuza. I think what is important is that it's not just about the association meetings. Because if we now, and we are in the third phase of a baseline study, research for business events and where it's actually happening, we will see an amazing distribution that is coming to the incentive market. And the incentive market is much easier because actually the country will offer a diverse experience for the incentive market. Australia, for instance, they have an incentive market that now is something like 10,000 really good with for incentive trips. So that's where we also focus. And we do believe that we can help. Both pre and post tours, definitely. It's also in the proposal, in the submission that we submitted to the committee, and you will see that they actually go out, and they are still staying on, and we believe that we need to tap into that potential, where they are coming for 4 days, because we see that coming to conferences is actually coming down, and we see a potential and the opportunity to keep them here for that longer period, so that they are, at the end of the day, 13 days in our country instead of just 8. Thank you so much.
Thank you, honourable members. I'll first start with honourable Foster's question. I think rather more of a statement around if grading was voluntary, the budget would be reallocated to do more work around the labour market side. I think I'm not mandated to speak on that because the Act, as it currently stands, has a compulsory system, which then necessitates that we articulate the value proposition to our members, which is really the work that myself and the team, you know, strive to do in ensuring that, you know, the 5,200 odd properties that we have in our books is either being upgraded and remain graded. Matter of fact, I think the committee will be glad to know that in the next few weeks you'll start seeing quite a number of trade-focused campaigns that will be rolling out. At the core of it being the graded being upgraded, where historically we've been very quite generic in how we market the star graded community. But, you know, with the 3-4 years of you know, so the insights that we've managed to receive, even launched various marketing campaigns that we've had, we are now able to articulate directly the messaging through, you know, all our communications to our members, where it talks directly to what we believe and they understand to be what they, you know, they want to see from the start reading. So as usual, we do encourage the, you know, the honourable members to engage with us. So honourable folks, I usually engage quite a lot with us on social media. Please do provide us with the feedback in terms of the effectiveness of that. Follow up on a statement you made. There was a comment around those members that opt out of the system, specifically making reference to the offer one. And I think in responding to that, you will touch on some of the concerns also raised by their members. We, in terms of the quarter one, we had operational cancellation of, I think we've recorded 307, and of those 307, 24% of them came back in. And when I say came back in, because ours is an annual membership cycle. So as a great member, you have to renew your membership every year, by way of paying your membership fees, which then enables us to set out an assessment, call it an annual assessment. It's quite a very stringent operational cycle that we need to manage with 34, with the 45 own assessors that we have across the country. Understanding that there's only 14 of our inheritors who are, you know, who are there to be, you know, managing the day-to-day operations of the grading system. So of those 307, 75 will manage to reapply post their cancellation. So in actual fact, our net cancellation will be less than the 307 that we have recorded. But we have to call it because of the membership system that we run. What should be actually encouraging to all of us in the room is the fact that we are seeing people that once they get the cancellation notices, because of the value they've experienced, they're coming back into the system. Over and above that, if you look at where we're coming from in terms of what we reported in the annual report, we had 5,280 graded properties at the end of March, but we grew them about 23 properties in the first quarter. Yet the growth is not enough to meet our target. We had a shortfall of about 22, and that 22, if you know, it's sort of net off in terms of those that we, you know, the attrition rate versus what, how many those that we managed to acquire. But we are, you know, confident that with the Above the Line campaign, as we keep increasing the enabling environment, as well as the work on the ground with our assessors, quarter two and quarter three should show different numbers. But yet again, the system remains voluntary, and, you know, it's something that we have to keep working at, and that is really articulating the value proposition and the COVID in the basket benefits. There was also a point mentioned about what we do with those that have actually then left the system because they still carry our intellectual property, which is the plus and the real stars. I think we all recognize this, especially me having been in this world for 6 years, that the rampant legal use of our stars has been quite a challenge, largely because, you know, it's a voluntary system and once they opt out, you know, it is within our eyes to opt out. What we've done is we do have a resource internally at the Grading Council, which is our quality protection officer, whose role is strictly to manage those members that opt out of the system. Obviously with the view of coercing them back in other than policing, because everybody still remains a voluntary system. We are again reporting to the committee that we've got quite a number of strides in that we work quite closely with the provinces. And we've, in the last 12 months alone, we managed to get quite a number of them on board in working with the various consumer protection offices, where they've got the resources and more importantly, they're closer to the products. So they are able to assist us with the direct engagement with those products within the provinces. I can mention the Northern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, those are the provinces that are global as well as the Western Cape. So they've really come to play and we are implementing a number of initiatives. One of which is we're going on an awareness drive where we will be printing collateral around some of the acts that they are contravening in using our funds, and the provinces will share work with us in distributing that collateral. Lastly, on that, you know, on addressing honourable folks' concerns, you know, points is about the reasons for cancellation. I think the chair, you know, the deputy chair, as well as the CMO, did mention the issues around the property closures, and this is largely coming from our guest accommodation. And if you know, we've done a bit of research in understanding the ownership of our property owners, and we found that between 60 and 70% of them are actually quite elderly. Their own, so it's people that have owned residences and converted them into guest accommodation, and they get to a point where it's not really a case of the normal thing that, you know, it's not adding value to their, you know, investment. It's more people saying, I'm going to convert it into a long-term rental and not necessarily run it as a accommodation anymore. And yes, there's still those that are come into the system, and once they see the, you know, the plethora of benefits that we do have, it's more the cost around the long-term benefit, because if you look at what you need to invest in your property to retain the particular bank rating, it's not really something that you do within a period of 12 months. There's a lot of planning that goes into it. So it becomes a cost of, okay, like, is it 4,000 rent, or do I, you know, keep operating as I am, and then rather look at other avenues of how I can get benefit and keep operating my business. But, you know, certainly we are working with the NDT and the SAM initiatives that we believe if we implement those particular initiatives, we will see quite drastic reduction in those members that are leaving the system. And I think lastly, on the point of cancellation, it will address a concern that was also raised in around why we are only reporting on the hotels and not guest houses. Hotels are quite important from a, when we look at how we report rooms. If we lose two hotels with 250 rooms, that's 500 rooms that we've lost out of the, you know, the grading system. Versus 5 or 10 guest houses with two bedrooms each. It's very critical and important for us to make sure that we are tracking it. And it does have a net impact on the work that has been done by the ladies and the business tourism team. Because, you know, from a capacity perspective, the hotels do have the capacity to, you know, host the bigger part of the ladies or the business tourists that we host. So it, just on that low level, if you look at those 9 hotels that we had operationally lost in that quarter, we actually managed to drop out a number of them. One of them that has opted out of the system is the Hilton Hotel in Centers, and it's largely to any, you know, business decision that they made, where they got a big pharmaceutical contract that actually the conditions, they are not to use staff-related accommodation. That's a condition. And we, you know, myself and Margie met actually discussing last night that we need to start engaging with them, because, I mean, if are you making preference to one, you know, revenue stream versus the other, especially those of you that have been privy to the, you know, the federal regulation that has come out recently, where they are now starting to stipulate the various star-rated properties and what government can spend in it, and the fact that it almost becomes simply compulsory to use star-rated properties. There are some of the brands that have actually gone to it. The Hyatt Regency, as an example, they've decided, because they are in the same position as Hilton, but they've decided to rate but not market it, because they didn't, you know, access both government businesses with the other corporate businesses that they're getting. Lastly, it was the chairperson, your issue around the Euro bidding system. In our part of the world, we've tried this harmonization, and it's certainly something that we don't set the grading harmonization, but within the, you know, the FedEx and the broader African, you know, community. It's something that is ongoing. However, today I'm not able to report to you in terms of exactly how far we've gone, but it's certainly something that my superior, Terrell Erasmus, with the resource that they are driving to make sure that we as a South African trading system are at the forefront of doing that. But I think what was more of your interest to you was the issue of how we manage the downgrading of establishments. You know, you talked about somebody being a bad star this year and the next year to all star. Because grading is voluntary and also it's a marketing tool, the properties choose to position themselves in the market. And our standards are there to guide them as to exactly where they can operate in the market. And we do encourage, you know, properties to not only meet the client's expectations, but exceed expectations. So if we have element of our the same hotel in this view, then decides to devote to downgrade to a 3-star, because, you know, they become quite challenging to operate at a 5-star level based on the requirements to maintain at that 5-star level. It's something that we encourage, because when it does, it actually contributes more positively to the rent experience, just as if they're at a 5-star but offering very mediocre service, you know, facilities and services. And it's certainly something that's coming out of our, you know, the guest review system that we've recently implemented, where we are now able to gauge the guest reviews across the profile of website in terms of what people are seeing around South African accommodation and conferencing facilities. So to the point that you are making, if it is a 3-star, if it is a 5-star, there's definitely the reason why. If you look at some of the guest reviews, they are most probably responding to that, because guests will drive that type of behavior. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Member. Honourable Adams, if this time the CEO budget, the biggest reason for that was the recruitment cost for the new CEO. That took out around about 800,000 to 900,000 rand. It's going to be flying in Canada, paying the company to recruit the young Italian company. We just got through premises. I think they appreciate the investment on that. They just got premises we follow. And the biggest cost, the reason for our expenditure is for the recruitment of the CEO. The rate crisis, what happened is due to change the rate. We have already started three events here. This is the indication, I've already indicated in terms of that. This is our single spot advice, the minutes, the regulation procedure for us in, from the people abroad to procure. India has started the roadshow. That's also kind of a problem in terms of roadshow. In terms of the sole provider, I don't know if you're aware that all sole providers must now be approved by the National Treasury. So we had the liberty in the past to approve that, all those must now go to the Treasury. Now, we support Treasury for the we support 100%. Of the local procurement, we support 100%. So we're just looking for how can we also look at that. I'll come to it now. Africa, we've already done the Africa media buy in the second quarter, so it was also just really a timing issue. I want to explain that. So Africa will be green budget in the next quarter, and I can go on if you want to do that also. Java revenue, Adams, if the committee require, I can really in future indicate the unordered figures. If that will satisfy you, I will do that. Because the unordered figures we have, the ordered figures we will we'll have to work with the ordered figures. But the unordered figures, if you're happy with that, I'll include that in the future. The next question, I think that's an important question, Honorable Adams. I think in terms of the supply database, I've discussed it with resolved with the Treasury. Sole provider, a huge challenge, you know, if we're talking about sole provider appointed in a foreign country. So if you go to a bigger hotel group, we can accommodate a certain number of people, we must then approach the Treasury to get sole provider approval there. So that is a kind of a delay in our processes, and it makes it sometimes really difficult in some of the countries. In South Africa, we do that 100% because that is the requirement of the law. Hosting is a huge issue. In terms of, I'll give you an example, in terms of hosting, accommodation, we need to get approval for all accommodation rates. And there is now a new rate, which I'll give you the rate now, which is 1,300 rand in the past, every over 1,300 rand must be approved. So in terms of hosting, if we go to the high-end people, they want to go on a group name, for example, then we need to approve the Treasury was in a group that they are group name sole provider, as an example, and secondly, we must also approve get approval for exceeding that amount. That's delegated to that board, which is delegated to the ECO. So I think the teacher has heard of that, doesn't check. The recommendation is specified in the Treasury regulation. I think Daryl and I are very engaging with the Treasury also, because a lot of the VNBs are struggling for their rates are too low in terms of the industry norm. So an easy industry norm, that's how they determine it from the guiding council. We're also engaging with that. What I think I from us is that by the end of this week we'll have something from the industry. What something means that I can respond to. I think I can go on with the other. The principle, I'm at the principle. I think we will appreciate if we can influence Treasury, who on our level we are busy from the department side, we are busy and see how can they accommodate us when we do international procurement. Because, you know, let me give you an example, being international doesn't matter today. But for us, this Africa, it's a procedural requirement we need to go to be in equity. So we do have those differences with here. So it's not that we will appreciate, but I must want to say, we do from our side, if you look at our audit report, 10% of auditors, 100% of auditors in general, there were no findings from that, so we try to comply, or we do comply with all the requirements of the Treasury. So from the local environment, we will make sure that we comply. But the Treasury implementation, in terms of foreign countries, we'll have to look at that, Madam Chair. But I think that Honourable Amjad was urging our challenges also. We will do everything to make sure. So we're not accusing the Treasury, it's more that we need to respect the implementation. We have also checked with DECO, but DECO's biggest spend is personnel. Ours is not personnel marketing expenditure. So that is, I have met with the financial manager, Investor Energy as well, BTI. So we did this kind of comparison with them also.
Sorry, what's the Apple client? Who needs SAT to conduct a cost benefit analysis of IDABA with regard to private sector exhibitions and municipalities that exhibit at the show?
And this must indicate if there is value addition with regard to tourist arrival, this will be budget spent the next time.
I note your concern. I will come back to that. It will be challenging for those who will be right at you, but I will also indicate what implications of that. But I'll come back to that, and I will then respond to that. In terms of the paper, I hope I pronounced it right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The Thomson Davies, I'm a step later, sorry, the Thomson Davies, in terms of the email, you can only go to marketing. So the real money must are going to marketing, that's the agreement with the Thomson, which you can sign off, which is, so you cannot use it for anything else. The board members, Spain, I don't have the right figures now, I will make it available. 39,000 is not much. It's only for board meetings, and we pay treasury rights. That's what we pay the board members. We don't get in additional funding for that. So I hope I have dealt with all the questions.
Okay, thank you very much. The one that we concentrate is Japan for fee quotes for single book providers. And we did a lot of work with Joshi Rhodes in India, and we had to find fee quotes in Joshi Rhodes. So we're trying to say that there is only one Joshi Rhodes, so we can't find three quotes or three Joshi Rhodes. Just a quick thing before I get to the... Joshi Rhodes, my name was great. It was a lot of accommodation as well. A quick note to Arnold Kavak on the presentation. I hear you loud and clear in terms of your comments, having been a long-time member of this committee. What we are trying to do is produce a high-level presentation that speaks to the facts and facts, and then the fourth step is a number of annexures that feed to the detail. I'm not sure if you did get access to all the annexures that feed to the detail. I want to hear you in terms of the narrative, and I think we'll engage with the chair to talk about how we can better. We get given the template, which in terms of the performance, and it doesn't, as you see, it doesn't allow for great engagement in terms of the narrative, hence the question, and hence the lengthier debate after the presentation rather than being published in the presentation. So I think we will discuss with the chair how we can go forward and add a lot more of the narrative and the real value of the presentation into what we do. So to the point of making...
We'll get those prepared.
If
it's not that prepared, we'll get them prepared.
Thank you. As to domestic is probably what keeps us awake most at night, which historically has not been the case. Historically, Southern Jordan has been very focused on international arrivals, and it is a domestic market now because of all the understanding of how important and how critical it is that consumes us. Building a culture of tourism to the point of saying, what do we do differently to France? We do not have a culture of tourism. And building a culture, a fundamentally different culture, takes time. In the case of the Joburg Inner City, the Inner City Revitalization Program started in 1991. And now, 25 years later, we start seeing the Inner City properly reviving. There are endless examples of behavioral change that will take at least 20 years. So whilst we have 100 million rand coming into our coffers as our fiscal year, this is a process that we're embarking on that will really need to be continuously addressed in the next 20 years. Our discussions into the millennials in this country today talk to the top 10 destination choices of visit do not include one single attraction locally. It's Times Square, Paris, Eiffel Tower, not one of our millennials choose to put in their top 10. So not only is there a very real issue around affordability and accessibility, there's a very real issue around inspiration and aspiration. The lack of inspiration and aspiration. We do not see our own country aspiration to travel in. Look at any of the media outlets. Your first part is always a three-star, Mauritius type
for the great prize winning members, they have great prize winning opportunity showcased in South Africa. So it's not just, it's pervasive right throughout our media, to our trade partners who still see international arrival as far more attractive than domestic tourism. You can see the way in which they pay their artists, that's okay. And the fact that there is just not a culture of travel in this country, but also for historic reasons, and lack of welcome to our own travelers of South African strikes. So this is a long-term journey. It's not something we're going to see turning around and say, well, what are we going to do different next year? However, when you do look at the net expense, and a very happy red face next to the net expense, because that's $100 million. Last year, we've got a massive media opportunity, $2 million expenses that I've kept away, which now we will see very effectively pull this together in the Tourism for All commercial in order to maximize our spend. But the work that we did in the insight showed that we need to do a lot more around the affordability, which again, you know, we talk mandates about visa regulations, we talk mandates about enhancements of attractions, those sorts of things. If we get to become the foremost tourism authority, we South African tourism have to take these on board. And the main project taken on board loud and clear is the issue around affordability and accessibility. So this year, the reason that the spend, which is based really on last year, is so much less in the first quarter, so we're spending a lot more on throughout the year working with our partners to make real, affordable travel accessible and aspirational to all South Africans. The provincial issue is a real interesting this debate, and you referred to that a bit briefly as well, so in terms of Indaba, what is the provincial return on investment in terms of what it does? We look at our international exhibitions as well and say, look at the provincial showing there, what is that real return? And of course you talk about what are we doing about moving people in around the provinces. So my real challenge is to say that each province has its own tourism authority. What proportion, and again, their focus has been on international arrivals. It's never been on really attracting domestic arrivals and showing how to do it. Now, we know how the government structure works. You know it far better than I. So our job is to actually inspire the provincial authorities to work on domestic tourism and for them to showcase it really is incumbent on the provinces to showcase provinces. Our job in South African tourism is to build a culture of travel. So when you talk about the Tourism for All, which is the way in which you've taken the UNWTO Universal Accessibility for Tourism Month and broadened it to say let's make it more broader, our drive is to say let's inspire all South Africans to travel the country regardless of how and where. What we need to do and what we really need your help with in your province is to say how can the provincial authorities take far more ownership of domestic travel rather than international travel and look at spending and their return investment and then showcasing why what we've inspired all South Africans to travel, you should travel to that particular province. And to your issue around the stats, the difference is exactly that. Your international arrivals in the province they go to versus domestic travel is fundamentally different. And the purpose number one province will be VMR, followed by KZN. And the holiday travel trip are completely different. The Western Cape then holiday trip needs to be highly but not enjoyable. So we need to present those better. Our real challenge is to say those people that are traveling and have built have a culture of travel built, how can we ensure that spend enhances and increases the tourism economy so we can deliver on our manage around jobs and growing the economy in totality? I got the detail look. So it really is. So just to sum up there, our job as South African tourism, we see it as a layering job. We've got to create this culture for travel, but we've got to work again at working with trade and product to make sure that it's affordable and accessible. The job of the provinces is to ensure their provincial tourism authority work really hard at presenting their hidden delights and joys and gems and make their province that much more attractive. And in that way, we collaborate together and build a bigger tourism culture and delivery in totality.
Sorry, before you come in, it's important for you as South African tourism to talk to those structures. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just one last question.
for the performance at this honorable end for your
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, I'll try to move as quickly as possible. Why 5 KPIs instead of 14 reported? We have 8 that you reported that they're not due for reporting, and then I'll go through that, why are we saying they're not due. The 2 or 3 of those 8 came out with the ministerial review. The first one was the stakeholder satisfaction. There was a concern in the stakeholder review, in the ministerial review, that we don't engage stakeholders, and therefore there's animosity around the stakeholders as far as they think around, or the animosity, there's a reputation that FET has around the stakeholders. So what we are doing then, we allow at least a year for us to engage with stakeholders, select the stakeholders to engage, prioritize them. So we have, I think by the end of December, we should be having a fully-fledged stakeholder matrix that is that could have been consulted with the various stakeholders and agreed upon. And then in February next year, 2017, we'll go through a stakeholder satisfaction survey, which will give us obviously an indication of how do the stakeholders think about FET as far as different levels of satisfaction or service levels as such. So that will only be reported end of the year. So those are the 2 KPIs I've spoken about. The 3rd KPI that came out of ministerial is the issue of staff satisfaction, staff engagement, staff morale. And last staff satisfaction survey around 2011. So the figures that we have, we can no longer use them to measure the staff satisfaction this year. So we have to set new baselines. The new baseline then will be set around February when we conduct our staff satisfaction survey. Again, we've allowed time to implement these staff interventions so that we can make sure that whatever recommendations were made in our previous engagement with staff and feedback we got were implemented. So those are the 3 areas that will end up reporting in March, because of the reasons that I've stated. Then on the business events and business delegates, we take council that we need to track those, so we'll track those in the future. We can also track the staff turnover, which is the 6th one. And then the one on the unqualified report, that one will be reported in quarter 2, which is not a problem, because we have to wait for the finalization of the 2015-16 annual report. I think those are the first reasons why we have not reported on the 8. The misalignment of the reporting period, of the KPIs we have, we've got 5 that we're reporting on calendar year. We've got about 2 that we're reporting on financial year. And we've got 1 that we're reporting, I would say, in other ways. The 5 that are aligned to calendar year are your arrivals. The reason why we do that is because just as they, in as much as they issue statistics every month, when they report performance about 2014, about 2015, about 2016, they're reporting a calendar year and they're not reporting a financial year. So if we move to financial year, we'll then be misaligned to statistics when they report the full year performance. Secondly, the UNWTO, when they report performance for a year, they're reporting a January to December. They're not reporting an April to March. So again, when we do the comparison of the full year performance that is reported by SAT, trying to benchmark against UNWTO, will be misaligned if we're reporting the April to March versus the January to December. So there's issues of misalignment. It's a choice that we can make as a country. We're not saying it's impossible. It's a choice that we can make as a country, but we must know that we won't be able to benchmark ourselves. We'll be looking at 2 sets of steps from Saturday and in South African tourism, from UNWTO and South African tourism. The revenue is a derived figure from arrivals, so obviously that one will follow how we report the arrivals. The 3rd one is your domestic holiday trips. On that one, remember there's an element of revenue that is derived from the domestic trips that is included in the total tourism revenue. In as much as we can move, because the domestic surveys that's conducted by South African tourism, in as much as we can move from reporting on calendar year as far as domestic holiday trips, But the reality is the revenue component of it, which is derived from the trip, will not be aligned then to the total revenue, unless obviously we shift even the arrivals to a financially supported KPI. As far as events and delegates are concerned, that reporting is also aligned to ICA, because currently as far as business events are concerned, we're focusing on the meetings for the association. So if we follow the, again, it's a similar thing, if we do the financial year April to March, it's going to be misaligned to ICA, and we're not going to have a benchmark against which we compare our performance. So those are the funds that are reporting on calendar year. Then the brand positive, I think CMO did report on this one. And grading, that's the one that's done because it's under control, reported and is aligned to the financial year budget. Okay, thank you.
Just one thing that was sketchy, which no one really understood, and that was the Hilton Hotel. As I understood it, declining the star rating or moving rate on that because of some pharmaceutical relationship. Everyone could look at each other, no one could understand that. I mean, what's interesting is in your in-house magazine, or in the past, on a very large page, there's an article about that, this article here. That very same article, I think, really strange when the minister and other key people say that government will only support car rated institutions. And it's just been clarified, I don't understand that. I'm sure you meant also people will be encouraged to go back, because he said to her, so I'm sure he didn't mean that.
Please clarify.
Very simply, but the Hilton has recently withdrawn from the grading system. We are in negotiations with them to get back into it. The reason that they said that they have withdrawn is that their brand is bigger than stock grading, and it's the stuff they take internationally. If I understand what they do, take by place. There's a pharmaceutical grouping. We will only stay in ungraded establishments for any state they're healthy. So we're saying, I think, no sense whatsoever. Do what we want to do in terms of Durban. Great, if you choose to stay, not to stay, that's fine, but we're not going to be supporting that at all for such time as they come back into the fold. It's just anecdote.
Finally, honourable force, because it was committee business as well.
I understand that, I must say, I'm a big fan of the work of the South African Grading Council. Because ultimately, you know, we need that quality assurance in our industry. So there needs to be a much bigger consumer push on the one hand, and on the other hand, obviously SAT, together with the South African Grading Council, needs to make it much more attractive for places of accommodation to be graded. But I must just add my concern to the fact that this pharmaceutical company wishes not to stay in a graded facility. One needs to take it one step further and ask whether the South African government, in fact, are purchasing their products. And if so, I find it quite concerning that a country, this trading country, is there to protect and expand on our tourism brand, and this company chooses not to stay in a trading facility. So it really doesn't make sense. But Madam Chair, then the last quick point I want to make is with regards to the provincial tourism authorities. Now, during the many other sites that we have conducted thus far, I've come to the conclusion that in many cases, some of the provincial tourism authorities lack in many respects, in destination marketing, product development, a whole range of other aspects, which really impacts on their ability to market their provinces much more effectively and to have a single message. So what is that province unique offering, etc. So really then, impacts on the work of SAT to market the country as a whole. Because if there is something missing from a specific province, then it impacts on your ability to market that province together with all the other 9 provinces. And I want to conclude by this point. What makes South Africa very unique is the fact that we have 9 provinces, and each one of those provinces have a unique tourism landscape. And through your brand, and also through the work that you do in terms of tourism for all, it excites me about South Africa as a country. But really the provincial perspective is missing. And I think you mustn't just take it for granted that if there's something missing from a provincial perspective, then you're just going to continue business as usual. You should flag it through your engagements with the Department of Tourism, because ultimately the National Department of Tourism has the responsibility to ensure that provinces deliver on their tourism mandate, and therefore the impacts on your ability to market the country. So in that value chain, that is something that, you need to look at. We cannot just sit back and say, if a province X cannot deliver, then we continue with our marketing as a whole. Each province must pull their weight, because each province has the responsibility to deliver on the tourism mandate so that we can get those provinces working again. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Force. I think we must still call you at a certain point in time, Sam Alawi, to explain to us exactly why you're not commenting on hacking. As a person who has been involved in administration for years on end differently, even if you don't meet that target, you still report on the target, so that your target is not just falling on the wayside. You report on it. We are this far, or this is what we are still doing to hit the target. But to say we'll report after, it doesn't help. For me, I don't know for the other members, but for me, it's really damaging. I should invite you for that at a certain point in time. On this note, thank you very much, everybody, the committee, and SAT for the presentation. It was quite interesting, but we still have got a lot of questions to ask. And we hope the agenda, whatever you call it, will get it from Petra. In our pigeonholes at a certain point in time. That's right. Thank you very much, and have a good day from the department. We've got some support from the committee to complete this.
Tourism, Art and Culture and Environmental Affairs. We also look at the INDAVA report. Also, we received that MOU that was taped by the Minister, an MOU between South Africa and India. I'm sure members are okay with page one, the attendance. The committee has approved the third draft program of the committee as the way it was presented. The joint oversight report to KwaZulu-Natal was also approved by the committee as well. And then the tourism endeavor was also approved by the committee. The MOU was also noted by the Committee to Work Better to indicate that we will also invite the department to come and brief the committee on that as part of the memorandum that are active by the department in this case. And then the other things that we also consider the minutes of the 13th and the minutes of the 20th. Ngosi, you indicated to us when we were adopting the joint oversight report, you raised two issues in that report. One, you said you commented on the issue of drought in KwaZulu-Natal. The second thing, you also commented on the issue of invasive plants in the park. If you look at that report, under recommendations that are going to the Minister of Environmental Affairs, those two issues have been captured there. Also. So that's why your comment you won't see here under the adoption of that report. So in reservation, those are the minutes of the Portfolio Committee of last week. Then if members have no issues, then we can just go ahead and adopt it so that we don't have them there.
So the adopted minutes, is there any problem with that? Actually, Indaba is already in the ATC. I'm sure something will be said about it maybe on Wednesday in the chamber, I assume. But it's already in the ATC.
But it's on Wednesday's order paper?
No, I'm talking about the ATC book. Yeah. It's already in the ATC.
Well, I think it was the open line the day before yesterday from Wednesday.
No, what I'm saying is maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll also raise our concern around Indaba to SAT. So we take it that they will think about it because it's very important. But can somebody adopt the adopted minutes that we adopted?
I move.
Thank you very much, honorable members. This was a very interactive team and engagement. And thank you very, very much. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. And so we regret our talk this weekend, in spite of the hard work.
Sometimes
we really win. I think we will be there. We need to be successful.